The following program contains strong language, sexual situations, and alcohol abuse. So, if you're easily offended, you may wish to consider listening to anything but Slater's podcast. Viewer discretion advised.
I'm already burping. Oh gosh.
Hey, there he is. There we go. Oh, now I can hear my voice, which is terrible.
I know. You
That's never what you want.
You hear you and
yeah.
There you go.
Oh, and there's the sound effects. Rick wasn't fucking around. All
honestly,
right. He's a serious man.
And it gives you that extra push when you're taking a shot.
It does.
To finish
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. Look, Little John in my ears will always make me feel good. Yeah. I'm never gonna be upset by that. I'm also from the South. You have to like Little John.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What was the thing? Well, he had the yeah, okay. And then what were the other things he had?
He's the feature king, you know. You put him on any song, he's just going to bring energy.
Yeah,
you know.
I agree.
I'm not gritting his discography. But,
I need a little John in my life.
Yeah.
Any John.
Yeah.
Just a little one.
Just a little guy. A little, you know, 5'7". You're in Fida. I feel like there's a lot of little Johns walking around.
There's probably, yeah.
There's some big Johns, too.
I keep my head down when I walk on the streets of New York.
Yeah.
I don't want to make eye contact.
This area is, I don't come here often, but it's so wild to walk by like the fucking bull, you know?
I know.
You curse on here, right? I guess we're doing shots together. All right. No.
Trust me, there's a warning before the podcast.
Fair, yeah.
About language.
But a lot of people, some people care, some people don't, and I just curse so casually, and I forget about it sometimes, and then I was on a podcast where they were like, we don't, and I was like, what?
Oh, all right. What about just beeping it out?
I don't know. Yeah, well, I mean, it's going to be a lot of beeps, so that's
fuckers.
Fair, you know? I just think Southern, if you grow up that way, just cursing is just like, you know, white trash shit. People are just always, you know, it's just the flavor.
And upstate New York, same way.
Yeah, well, any rural area, you get away from a city, people are getting a little weird with it.
And it's also so weird because I was trying to make one of my New Year's resolutions, which I haven't figured all of them out yet. I just realized it was Lent. I was raised like Catholic, so I was like, oh, Lent, shit, what do I give up?
That's all of March, right?
Yeah, it's like 40 days or something.
All right.
Yeah.
40 days, 40 nights?
Yeah, yep, exactly.
I don't know.
It's the full around the clock. Yeah, right. you don't stop at night. It keeps going. But I was like, what should I give up? And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to try to be more cognizant of swearing on stage because I do that in real life all the time. So then it just translates when I'm up there. And I'm like, I gotta stop doing that because it's just, it doesn't add anything. And sometimes it takes away from the punch, you know?
Well, the main comedy club we work at too, you very frequently will just have a random 12-year-old in the crowd. So it does help when you can pull some curses or not talk about the most perverted stuff on stage. Cause like very frequently in that club, they will just, they let children in because it's like tourists walking around Times Square and they're like, you want to see a comedy show? And they're like, we got this 12-year-old. And they go, we don't care.
We'll
take
bad.
Your money. You
know? And I have like so much like inappropriate shit. Like I can go clean, but like, it's not like fucking Mr. Clean.
You should, I mean, we're doing comedy for adults.
Yeah.
We're all drinking. Why?
Yeah, no,
we should never think about
no one's sitting at home writing material. Yeah. Like, all right, is this good enough for 12 and under? Like,
it's 11:30 on a Thursday in Times Square. Like, why are we? I need to be clean. This is crazy. You know, it's on them for bringing their 8-year-old to the show.
I was just gonna say, why aren't they in bed?
Like, they have bad parents. We know why.
They took them to fucking Times Square, so they're already
let them into a comedy
adults.
Show. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's a lot. Well, so before I forget, because this has happened in the past, I'll introduce talking to randomly.
I'm sure my name's on it, right?
Yeah. So this week's Shotcast, I don't even know what fucking episode we're on anymore, okay? But it's second season. We're almost done. I think there's two more episodes left after this.
Hell
so you're lucky number 8,
all right. I'll take it.
Yeah, it might be 7, but I can't count.
It's not nothing.
So we have Spencer Cilio. Is that how you say it?
Yeah. It'd be hilarious if you just totally butchered it.
Cilio.
Yeah.
I've done
like
that
silly
before.
Silly with an O, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's simple. It's 5 letters.
Oh,
it's not too hard.
Silly with an O.
Silly with an O. That's me.
Cilio. Yeah. So it's been in your...
Yeah, my initials are SASS. You would have thought I could have done comedy sooner. But,
oh, my gosh. Yeah. Wow. Yep, he's a comic in New York City from Texas.
From Texas. Going back soon. Going back home.
Going back, which I just found out about, and I'm pretty sad. Just to get more stage time.
Yeah. People actually respect you. I reached out to a comedy club there and was like, hey, I'm going to be moving back. And he's like, hey, do you want a headline? I'm like, whoa.
Dude.
I forgot people just,
give it out there. Like,
yeah, you don't even
candy.
Have to ask for anything. You know, like every day I'm asking for a free spot on a Tuesday at 7 o'clock. And then in Texas, I'm like, hey, I'm just going to be around. They're like, you want a headline? You're like, oh, right.
Like, we don't need a check tape.
Yeah. And it's cool. It's like if it sucks, I move back in 2 years, I'm at the exact same point I'm at. But in New York, you're competing with Jon Stewart for stage time. So it's insane, dude, you know, how hard it is to get consistent.
I remember one time at Gotham when I was like starting out and doing like bringer shows and shit.
Yeah.
I remember one time Jim Gaffigan came in.
Yeah.
And he like came in like mid my like first or second set I ever did. And I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And then he came up and I was like, yeah. And then like just their like cheering of him coming on the stage, not even saying anything, was the loudest they were the entire time.
Of course.
I was like, this is my competition.
Yeah.
I just started. Like,
also seeing him in clubs is fun because he's like, you know, on TV, he's like Hot Pockets and he's like the super clean guy. But you see him in clubs, he'll go a little dirty. He'll be a little more like, he'll talk about more like modern stuff, which is cool. Same with Seinfeld, I've heard.
Seinfeld drops in there too. Really? I've been cool. when he was there too one time and, I asked him for advice like a fucking loser, but I was like younger and not as well.
You can't not do. I remember one time I was a young comic, I was working the door and I was talking to this older comic and I was like, how do you open for people? And I look back on it and I'm like, oh God,
so
you know,
cringy.
Just when you're just so young. And he goes, it'll happen. It hasn't really, but you know what I mean? That was
still
He was just kind of like, shut your mouth, you know? Like,
yeah. But Jerry Seinfeld was like, he's like, well, before you go upstage, just say, fuck it.
That's actually not bad.
And I was like, okay. And then I literally would do that like every time I went on stage. Yeah. And it helped a little in the beginning.
It's not bad advice. You do have to just go like, all right, here we go.
Yeah, I was expecting a little more like of a crafted long answer. But then I look back and I'm like, well, obviously this guy's not going to have like the time for me.
Yeah.
And to even like respond and give me a little nugget of knowledge.
It's something.
I'll take. Right. Yeah.
Especially coming from somebody that big. It's cool to get that.
Yeah. I was like, you will never remember this, but I will cherish it forever. Thank you so much.
He forgot the second it came out of his mouth. Like if you would have asked him 20 minutes later, he'd be like, what? I don't know.
Yeah. He'd be like, who? Yeah. The door girl?
Yeah.
Be like, no, just the aspiring kid who sucks. But yeah, so you're moving back to Texas, but you came here when you were 20? Is that what you said before?
I started comedy when I was 20. I moved out here when I was 22. So very quickly into comedy. Okay. I was like, time for the, gotta hit New York City. I'm moving here with $200 and some duffel bags. Yeah, it was crazy. I moved with a buddy, Fernando, who's a comic, and we like were sharing a room in Harlem and I'm like sleeping on the floor and there were so many roaches. I would like turn on the lights and like you'd see them scatter out of my air mattress on the floor and I'd be like, gotta chase the big city dream.
Came here with duffel bag and a dream.
Yeah, I was only there for a month, but it was a traumatic month, you know?
No, when you're in an environment like that,
it was crazy.
A month, you gotta like multiply it by 10.
They had a little chihuahua there, and the owner was like this, they were like this Guatemalan family, spoke like no English, so we like not a lot of chit chat. And they had this little chihuahua that they just never took outside. And so there was a two bedroom or a two bathroom apartment, like, so many bedrooms. Every time I was there, I would see a new person that lived there. You know, it was like huge and weird. And one of the bathrooms, they just let the chihuahua shit and piss on like newspaper. And you know, that's not great.
No.
Roaches, smells. big fans.
Are they?
I don't know. They were there.
They were loving it.
All
they're
I
like
could,
flies.
I'm kind of a, you know, whatever I see, I go with. And they were, I mean, they were loving that.
Yeah.
You know? And the roaches were just, they were having a time, you know.
They'll take anything.
And you would think, okay, you're letting your dog piss and shit in the house. You're going to clean that immediately, right? No.
Oh, my God.
The poor chihuahua, too, had like nails that were like overgrown, you know.
Oh, yeah.
That it was like, it was dark. But
did
that was my injury.
Did
to
she
the
ever
city.
Try to eat the cockroaches? She ever play around with them? Form an alliance?
I don't know. There were so many that I was just like blinders on every time in the apartment. It was a nightmare.
So what got you out of there? Are you like.
I moved here. I was working at Starbucks in Dallas, and then I got a job out here. That was my way of like, I can make it in the city. I got a job at Starbucks, baby. Can't tell me nothing.
I was a barista, bitch. Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah.
How long were you working at Starbucks?
I probably worked there for like maybe a year in Texas, and then, or not even that, a couple months. Altogether, like a year. Once I moved to New York, it was a nightmare. Like
I was gonna say, like from there to here, the
in
orders.
A Starbucks
probably.
In a smaller city, people treat it with a little bit of respect.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
It's like a high class cafe.
It's better than you know. It's better than nothing. In New York City, Starbucks is a McDonald's. You know, you'll just have a woman throw a drink in your face.
Yeah.
And I opened a new Starbucks in Park Slope, and they had me giving out samples on the streets of Park Slope. On
You're
like
barking
Fourth and
for
Union.
Coffee.
I was barking with Starbucks coffee. The level of confusion people would look at me with when I would have Starbucks coffee. They're like, yeah, we know it. We don't.
Yeah, have you ever had this crazy new
you
want
to try this? They're like, what is happening right now?
I've had every kind.
It felt like they looked at me so confused. And I'm also in the middle of Park Slope. It's not a bustling area.
Yeah,
so
that's
I would
very
see
random.
Somebody very randomly and be like, hey, you know, a lot of times I'll just throw them in the trash and then come back after 30 minutes and be like, I gave them all out.
Dude, no, that's what I used to do. I used to work at the Saratoga horse racetrack, and I would like pass out all the like handicapper reports and like just all the betting and like projections for the day. Oh my God. And it was like a stack like this big. And I'd get there and we'd start at 10 a.m. and they're like, you guys can leave whenever you get rid of your stack. I made friends.
Just immediately.
I made friends with the staff so quick because they'd watch us, so you couldn't just dump them in the garbage.
Right.
But I would like, there. It was like a drug deal. Like the one of like two of the guys on the staff like knew like my situation.
Knew what the deal was.
And I would like be like, hey. And then they would like walk through the gates and be like, and like take half a stack and like walk in and like put it in their coat. And I was like, this is some serious like drug dealing right
now. You're really
now.
Doing it. Really doing it big. Yeah.
And then I'd always be the first one to leave. And everyone was like, how the fuck does she get to go home every day? It wasn't even like
11. No one caught on.
I was like, I'm amazing. I'm a seller. What can I say?
Just we got the gift. When just you got fucking, the gift, it's what it is.
I was like, double up, ladies. Double up.
This is how it works.
Yeah. It was.
You never got caught?
No.
Hell yeah. Well, that's a good run.
Now it's out.
Yeah. Now,
now
they know.
They're going to be looking for me.
They're
going
to come back. They're going to be like, you actually need to give out a couple more. We heard.
Like, that's why that season was so low on income. Son of a bitch.
Yeah.
But yeah, I had a lot of weird jobs growing up because my dad was like pretty strict. And so as soon as I turned 13, he was like, you're legal to work. Like, go get a job. And I was like, what? Yeah.
That's crazy, but I would be that dad. Because I started 100%. Working at that age, and I think it is good for you.
Yeah,
you know?
It is.
Like, I think you need to work a little bit in high school, get that out of you, and then you need the support when you're in college in your 20s financially to be like, now go do what you want to do. Here's a little bit of money.
Yeah.
But when you're a kid, teach them, like, life sucks. You got to work for everything.
Yeah.
And then surprise them when they're 18. Like, hey, I'll help you out.
Yeah. Because then you, like, understand
a work ethic.
Like,
you
yeah. and, like, just the value of a dollar. Now I'm sounding like my parents. But,
we're both becoming Republicans.
We're, like, old.
I'm moving back to Texas.
We're old school generation. But, like, it's just... Because especially now, like, nothing's really that much to, like, cash anymore, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, you kind of just see it, and it's just, like, a digital amount that's, like, changing day in and day out. So, like, even now, like, I don't really ever have cash on me, and it's so weird when I, like, do. Because then when I spend it, I'm like, oh, it's like fun coupons.
I love
like, it feels like it's not real because it's not
my family's
changing
Italian,
my bank account.
And I guarantee you if I ever get money, I will be such a cash whore. Like, I will have a wad of cash on me at all times. I'll be greasing everybody. If I was rich right
now,
I'd give Rick $100. I'd give you Purdue. I'd be like, here you go, man. You know? I just love having cash and giving it out. It's so fun. It feels so cool. I'm poor as shit, and I'll give people money on the subway all the time because it makes me feel better. I'm selfishly doing it. It's for my own ego.
Yeah.
You know?
There's some, like, because I'm on the Lower East Side, and it's like it gets pretty fucking dicey over there.
Oh, yeah, you can't do that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, once you give to one, they all fucking come in
crazy.
Like vultures,
yeah.
And then you're done, and we never see you again.
Yeah.
But, like, this lady on the subway here, I had my AirPods in, but, like, I have it, like, semi low so I can hear my surroundings
because
I'm like, this is how people die.
Transparency mode, you gotta
do it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I'm like, and they think I'm not listening, but I am. So, really,
know.
I'm above you on the fucking counter steps here. But, this lady came up to me, like, she was clearly not well. And she was like, hey, can I ask you a question? I was like, no.
Just a hard
that's
and
an
fast.
That's a ominous no. Fucking, yeah, I was just like, no. And she walked away because I'm like, dude, that's how they get you. You take your fucking AirPods out or whatever. And then they're like, oh, now you're hooked. And then they start a sob story of whatever the fuck. And then,
mine way too full on accident.
Oh, my God, yeah. Oh, yeah, before I forget that, too, because a couple more of these, I'm definitely going to have amnesia. But the alcohol we're drinking today, so Spencer told me tequila, and, you know, I
like tequila.
I took that, and I ran with it, and I ran a little too far. Got a little too close to the sun with, I don't even know what this is, Coralejo? Coralejo?
Well, look, I'm not going to offend my... My
I'm
Mexican
not gonna
friends.
Yeah. But it's made in Mexico, so much so that it says it Callejo. In Spanish.
Callejo.
So this is the real deal. The liquor store guy told me to get it, and I'm probably gonna slap him the next time I see him because it is potent.
It's pretty good.
It is Vladimir potent. You like it?
Yeah.
Do you really?
I do, yeah. Once I had the first shot, I was like, maybe I'm back.
Oh my God. Oh,
cheers.
Cheers. All right, I'm gonna do the double cheers.
It's funny when the music stops and we're both just dying.
Yeah, surreal, it's like then you just hear the
drop
the,
us on the earth. There, we're the like, body, oh my god,
there's the two body people sounds
with watery eyes, being like, oh yeah, we're fine. Yeah, what?
Oh my god, that was nothing. I literally
these
I,
are huge shot glasses. I mean, to back you up a little bit,
they are. You know? They are big, and you know, whatever, go big or go home. I guess.
I wish they went on the camera so we could dramatize it more. Because I'm gonna be honest, I look pretty small when I'm looking at the screen. I'm like, we got these huge shot glasses. Look at the picture, and they look small as shit.
These things are huge. And then, they look standard.
Yeah, it's a girth.
That's but they're not. Yeah, they're deep and girthy. And we don't like that here.
We got chode shot glasses.
Yeah, no, it's it's bad. It's bad. But it's good.
I don't mind it.
Reposado.
I like tequila because, you know, people say tequila is the one that makes you up. Is that what people, you know what I mean?
Yeah, people are like, oh, it makes me crazy. Yeah. I'm like, really?
Yeah. I like it, though, because I don't feel like it makes me, like, sleepy or, like, super drunk. Like, I like whiskey, but if I have whiskey, I'm going to go to bed.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I like a Jack and Coke on the plane. Have that.
Yeah.
That's a good time.
Oh,
you know?
My God. Yeah. Drinking, traveling is the
best. Oh, my God. It allows my alcoholism to just go fully uninhibited. It's like you can have a beer at 6 a.m. and there's a guy next to you doing it also. He's going to fly the plane. And that's fun.
Yeah,
you know?
Right? Yeah. And then that's Denzel.
Yeah, Denzel, flight, baby. Flip it.
My God. Yeah, it's a no judgment, like, fun zone.
Yeah, and TGI Fridays is great. I mean, I love it, but, you know, it's not healthy behavior. But I like it. I don't like, though, sometimes there'll be, like, a family to the right.
Oh, yeah.
And I can see just, like, a 13-year-old looking at me because, I mean, we look the same. We look the same age. Yeah. And that hurts. And I'm like, ah, no, it's all right. I can do this. Don't judge me, man.
Yeah, you're like, I'm of age.
Yeah.
I'm making good decisions.
Yeah. Speaking of giving money, I've been doing this as a joke on stage, but I swear to God, I gave a woman $1 on the train the other day. She was super crazy. And then she was like, and what grade are you in? And I was like, I'm going to kill myself. I just gave you money to insult me right now. What the fuck is going on?
For those who are listening and not watching, Spencer is actually.
I got a real baby face. I'm 27 years old, though.
Yeah, he's got a baby face. I like to think I have a baby face, too, but I think you trumped me in the baby face era.
How old are you?
31.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing, and it's probably better for you. This is probably true. People are always like, oh, you're going to love it when you're old. You're going to love it when you're older, looking young. But as a man, it just kind of feels like they're telling me I'm going to be a creep. You know?
Yeah.
It feels like, what are you putting on me right now? Like, what is...
You're going to be at the playgrounds looking like you could be on the playground.
Like, I don't want to date someone who's 22 right now because I have nothing in common with them, let alone in 10 years, you know?
Yeah, no, that's weird. You're going to have a May-December relationship.
What is that?
It's like a older person with a younger person.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So just heterosexual relationship?
But no, like...
I feel like so many men date younger women. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, you know? But it could be the woman's the older one and the guy's younger. There was a movie that just came out with Natalie Portman about that exact scenario called May, December.
Oh, yeah. I watched a similar one with, what's her name from X-Men? Mystique? Jennifer Lawrence.
Oh.
It was like a comedy. It was pretty creepy.
Yeah.
Because she fucks a teenager.
No hard feelings.
She fucks a teenager.
Yeah. Did they fuck?
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember. Maybe I blocked that out.
I watched the movie and it was like, wow, all right. I mean, it was funny. I mean, there was a fun scene where she's naked and fighting, and it was unnecessary, but it was cool.
Really?
You know?
I thought she, like, I can't remember. I can't remember what happened.
She got in a fight on the beach. I don't know why I'm getting into the movie, but it was fun.
No, it was like, whatever. I try to check out any, like, new comedy.
I love
it.
Yeah, I watched Lost City last night for the first time, which is like Sandra Bullock and Channing Tatum. It's like a cheesy rom-com, like, action comedy.
Really?
That came out like a couple years ago. It was pretty good. I was surprised.
I don't think saw it. I feel like a lot of shit came out like in 2022.
And it was all a blur,
And like, and I'm just like, what was I doing?
We don't watch TV as much anymore, so you don't get commercials. There's no like monoculture.
Yeah.
We're all just missed. It's like, if it's on your TikTok algorithm, you got it. If it wasn't, all right, you know?
Well, I like randomly get YouTube alerts telling me like new trailer or whatever, and that's how I get most of my movies now, which is so weird, and I don't know why and how that happened.
Whatever's trending.
But I'm here for
it. Because
I just saw like a good comedy. Well, not a comedy. Maybe it was like a horror. But with, what's her face? Dreyfus. And it was.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus?
Yeah. And it looks so fucking good.
She's great.
Yeah, I love her. She's so funny. Did you watch Veep?
Yeah, and I haven't watched the whole thing. I have a hard time with TV shows. I'm too ADHD for it.
Yeah?
You know? Like, I like it, but I have a hard time, like, sitting and being like, all right, let me jump into season 5, episode 4, you know?
Yeah.
Like, once I've watched, like, I'll watch them in a string, And then I have a hard time going back. I just binge and then,
Like, I got my fill.
Addict behavior.
Moving on.
Yeah.
It's called, I'm surprised I found that so fast because I have like 30,000 photos in my phone. but it's called Tuesday. It's an A24 film, which I fucking love.
Hell yeah.
But like, I saw that and I was like, what?
Yeah.
Is it, I mean, just from that, like, screen grab, it looks legit, right?
She's very talented. She's one of the people that just can do everything. It's crazy.
Dude, she's so fucking funny. And I'm so happy that, like, Seinfeld wasn't her.
She's like, the only spoiled rich kid that I like, you know?
Yeah, dude. Like the Nepo baby fucking.
Yeah, she's era. The only one that I'm like, all right. Yeah. You know, sometimes it works out.
Well, that's what I was just saying with someone recently about fucking Dakota Johnson.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry. Like, you like her?
I think she's cool.
I'm like, I met her personally.
I thought this is where you were going with it, so I'm just such a people pleaser. I was like, oh, yeah, you're whatever. Like,
she's the best woman.
I don't know shit about her.
No, she's a Nepo baby, like a double.
Oh, yeah, well, her dad is Don Johnson. Which
yeah,
is
like in fucking Goldie, or no, that's Kate Hudson.
Right.
She's related to them, though, too.
Like, yeah, it's all. But, I mean, that makes sense. You know, it's like, of course.
I get that she would be in it. And then I kind of get, like, weirded out when people don't follow. And they're like, oh, he's just a farmer. I'm like, respect. But, like, why wouldn't you take advantage and then become a farmer? But whatever. Right. Or play a farmer, you know?
Yeah. Do a little Daniel Day-Lewis situation. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Is he coming out of retirement? I
don't know. I don't
feel
really...
like I saw something where he said he would for one specific role.
Or... Yeah. I respect acting, but I don't give a fuck about it, like, personally.
Dude, could never act.
Yo, not like, at all. Like, at all. Yeah. That's part of why I'm moving to Texas is I don't give a fuck about any of the entertainment world outside of stand-up.
Yeah,
I like
doing
stand-up comedy. I like doing a podcast, but, like, I don't... You know,
because you're yourself and you have to be yourself. And when you are the most yourself, it's the best.
But I also can't have like rules on how I can be myself, too. Yeah. Even acting, when you're being yourself, there's still rules. I'm like, you got to say this. And it's I've been around a lot of it, like filming sketches and shit like that. And I respect it, but it's not for me.
That's why I like, because a lot of comics are like, you know, also doing like skits and shit.
Kind of drives me crazy.
I'm like, I get it. And I understand why you're doing it.
But stop doing stand-up comedy.
But also, like, if you're not good at it, please save us.
You're taking up space.
Some are so bad. And I'm just like, I'm all like for, you know, I support everyone making their own shit, trying to like keep up with the trends and like get their name out there. But like some people, I'm like, this is hurting you.
But here's what's fucked up. And I agree, but it actually isn't that way anymore. Now it's like the internet's so fucking huge. You can put out the worst content. And it will never hurt you because there's just no way to have negative attention.
Well,
anymore.
It'll hurt your peers, you know? That you see in person.
Oh, yeah. for sure. Me and you won't respect them. But also, no one cares what we think. So it's, you know what I mean?
I know.
It's like, it's both are true.
And
you know?
It's like, yeah, the fucking constant, like, chasing the algorithm. Like, I don't fuck the algorithm. I don't care anymore. I hope the algorithm hears this.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm not going to cater to something that I think is going to work. I'm going to do what I'm going to do and then hope it does.
Yeah.
Maybe
and if those two meet, cool.
Yeah.
But you can only control it.
And I'm sure I'm taking the fucking scenic route that way. But I'd rather be proud of what I'm putting out and be passionate about what I'm doing rather than
Yeah. I mean, that's how I feel. That's why I don't because I mostly host at the comedy clubs, which means you go up first and you got to be like, hey, how's it going? You know? And then I hate doing that because it's like it limits you to a certain amount of jokes you can do or... You can only do crowd work, and crowd work is fine. I don't mind doing it to service the act and service the show.
Yeah.
But I don't like it as here's the highlights of my comedy, which is all you're doing is that. That's the only thing you can put out, really.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Or you can put out your joke that normally gets a 10 out of 10, getting a 7 out of 10 because you're hosting. And it's like, that shit just drives me crazy.
Yeah. Going up cold is hard, dude.
Yeah. It makes you a better comic, which is cool.
Yeah.
But it sucks.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
so.
Like you pay your dues with that.
Yeah. But running with weights makes you faster, but it's not fun to run with a fucking weighted vest.
Yeah, it still fucking sucks.
Yeah, it's not a good
time.
I
hate my life.
Yeah, you get paid $20.
Yeah.
And then you're in Times Square and you're like, oh, God.
Guess this is my Uber home. I just
not
paid
even though.
For
not
my
even.
Way. Half my way.
I went to Chick-fil-A yesterday before hosting at one of the clubs we were at.
That's a ballsy move.
And yeah, I know. I'm going back to the South. I feel liberated. And so I go there and it was a combo. A basic fucking nuggets and fries and a soda was $17. And I'm just like, what's going on? Like, what happened?
Dude.
You know what I mean?
A salad is like $17.
But here's the thing. Okay, if it's a good salad, this is where I'm at. If it's a good fancy salad, I'll buy it. You know, sweet green, I'll spend $17. If I'm eating fast food, that better be a deal. It better be like a, you know, 12, 13.
You didn't put your fucking heart and soul into it, okay?
You know?
She's not back there fucking blessing your chicken.
No. Sweet like, Green, they're doing something right. They're putting something special in there.
Yeah. I don't know if it was them or Just Salad that just said they're like getting rid of all their seed oils or some shit.
Oh.
Because like that's palm, like a big
palm oil
thing.
Stuff.
Yeah. 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 And I don't know who it might have been Just Salad. Just seed oils.
Just seed oils. That's their new
Not
brand.
Not anymore. Yeah.
That's all we're doing, palm oil. Everything is...
Look, you guys hate it, but it sells.
Our new brand is... We're sponsored by Amazon. That's all we're doing.
Bezos is in the back.
Yeah.
Dude, that shit's, like, crazy. I went down, like, a rabbit hole recently of, like, just all the stuff and all the processed food in America, obviously, because everyone else in the world is... mostly natural or they don't have food.
Right.
So like here we're just like, let's doctor it up with some pesties.
It's crazy.
And some oils. And I'm like, dude, but your body like regulates to that and like gets used
I'm
to it and craves
it.
It.
Yeah, hell yeah.
And then I'm like,
not
dude,
a crave. I need it.
Like, yeah. You know? Yeah. It's an addiction.
Yeah. Well, I'm stopping, I spend $17 at Chick-fil-A.
Yeah,
just to feel
exactly.
something. Yeah.
You justify
it. Oh, it's brutal. Yeah.
It's so bad. Cause I'm trying to like go back and like really focus on like what I'm putting on my body because I'm getting older and I'm like, all right, like
I mean settle 31.
I know. But know? Like yeah. Rick, what are you pushing over there? What age are you? How old are you? 40 with a question mark?
That didn't feel true. It didn't feel
true
at
all.
Yeah,
that didn't feel authentic at all, Rick. You weren't even paying attention. You're on your phone. I see you. No tip today. Lord. But anyway, I've just been trying to be more like cognizant of like what I'm putting in my body.
I know.
Which is,
it's also that's one of the hard things about living in New York in general is it's hard to get good food. It's hard to go to the grocery store and it's hard to go to the gym. So like all of that is so exhausting to do.
Yeah.
And like you can go to the gym, but then you got to like, I hate waiting in line, especially because I'm, you know, no, people are listening, but it's like, I'm a skinny guy. So it feels embarrassing when I'm just like waiting behind Mr. Olympia to be like, can I, like I'm going to do that next. And
gonna get to
I'm
going to
just, you're on like 20. I'm going to move it to like 3. But if I could just, just real quick, it'll take me way less time than what you're doing.
You're like, look,
you know?
I'm not doing nearly as many reps.
Just let me, I'm in and out.
I'll be right.
But it's, just, it's so embarrassing the working out in New York is the waiting for weights. I hate it so much. Or then like I've had multiple friends be like, I got a gym pass. Come with me. It's no big deal. And it's like, it's a big deal.
No,
there's way too many people here.
It's huge.
I shouldn't be here.
And they're already acclimated to the environment.
Yeah.
And they're just thrown into it.
I hate it.
And you're like, dude, I don't know where this is and where this is. I don't know like how to do this.
I
like,
know.
And then you're like, dude, like I can't. Public gyms, just like I used to go a lot. I used to actually one of my jobs growing up. I worked at Planet Fitness.
Oh god,
yeah.
I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy.
The fucking gold gym, not literally, but the high standard gym. But I had the 5 a.m. to 2 p.m. shift.
Wow.
And I walked there.
Oh my god.
Yeah, and I was just like, and I saved the pin with my name on it when I worked there.
Really?
And I weirdly like saved every like a memento from every like fucking stupid job that I had growing up, and they're just like in a box as like a reminder of what
of
I used
what you
to
went
fucking
through?
Do. Yeah, and I'm like, oh, whatever. Yeah.
Does it
like,
say Slater on the name tag?
Yeah.
Is that your real name or is that a nickname?
It's a nickname. Right.
You're Slatonymous? Yeah. It's like a longer name? Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, that's it. No, my real name is...
Ron Burgundy.
Whoa!
Yeah, I know. People would get very shocked by that.
It doesn't fit you. Slater's better.
And Yeah, you know? There's like very... far and few between that call me
Ron Burgundy.
Like my 5-year-old nephew calls me
Ron Burgundy.
They live in Alabama, so they're like, I'm like, yeah, Slater, he can't even
it's
like
too, it's
do
too much
syllables
for him.
Right now.
He's got to learn to read first.
Exactly.
He's got a lot of steps
first. I'm like, I'm not going to confuse you with his sound as a name.
I think that's why I don't have a Southern accent growing up in the South.
I was just going to say.
I do a little bit. Some people hear it, some people don't. I feel like once I, maybe on the third shot, it'll start coming out. It's like a tumbleweed blows by. You know
what
I mean?
Dude, that's what happens to my dad. Because
he
was in the Army for quite a while. And he was stationed in one of the Carolinas, or maybe it was Fort Bragg, so maybe Virginia. But he was down there for a long time, and he like picked up a twang when he was down there.
Really?
Yeah. And then he came up and met my mom, who's from the Bronx.
Okay.
So it was like a city country army battle. Boy. And yeah. I was like, what? So then, like, me and my sisters have, yeah. like, a weird, when we drink, like, we'll all start, like, going a little Southern. And now yeah. the one that lives in Alabama obviously has an accent. And yeah. then the other one's just a fucking mess. But
I don't know. I feel like the main reason I don't is watching, like, SpongeBob as a kid, you know? Because then, like, every episode, they'd be like, Sandy over here, this dumb squirrel from Texas. And I was like, all right, let me drop this shit immediately. Let me just blend
Dude,
in.
Dude, did you recognize that as a kid when you were
yeah,
watching?
Yeah, 100%. Because my mom and grandma both are just like, hey, what's going on? You know, they're real, you know, a lot
How
of
y'all
God,
doing?
God bless them. Yeah, you know.
Want
and
some tea?
I didn't, I swear to God, we would sit around at a table and all go, we don't got Southern accents. Like, we would all, and then I moved to New York and like 6 months later, I'm like talking to my grandma on the phone and I'm like, this is the most hick woman I've ever heard in my entire life.
Does she
you know?
Say anything about your kind of?
No, because I feel like I've always just had like a very nondescript accent. Because yeah. I grew up in a city.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I had the internet. I was watching MTV. I knew what was going on.
I was cultured.
Know? Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, this is cringe. You know, you don't yeah. want to do this. You
oh
know?
My God. It's so weird that there's like such a negative connotation on the Southern accent. Like, I feel like a lot
well,
of
everyone thinks the South is stupid
like,
and racist.
Oh, you're dumb
and that's
slow.
Because it is.
Yeah.
You know? But so is the North. That's the thing that drives me crazy.
Yeah. Like, we didn't. Like skeet by that.
No,
like, we also are all.
It's also funny
up
to call
our own way.
The South racist. You mean it's like where all the black people live? Like, there's,
yeah,
I've never been to whiter places in my life than living in the Northeast. You
Dude,
know, like, it's
I know,
so crazy.
Like upstate, I'm not kidding you. There
I mean,
was...
even most of New York is pretty white.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah. Like, there was only one black kid in my school. In
wow.
my high school.
That's fucking
And I was
insane.
Like, the fact that he continues yeah. to go here is amazing. Because I would yeah. be like, fuck this.
Right?
I couldn't imagine going to an all-black high school and I'm the only white bitch.
I went to Atlanta for the first time and I was expecting, like, people talk about Atlanta as, like, this, like, predominantly black city. And then I got there
yeah.
and I was just like, this is just Houston. I don't know if anyone's ever been
yeah.
to any Southern. I think what it is people from the Northeast, they go to Atlanta, they see, like, four black people in a room and they're like,
yeah.
oh, heavens, you know? And then they're like,
they're everywhere.
It's quite a, you know, and it's like, it's very embarrassing for them, but.
It is.
You know.
It is. They're like, childish Gambino.
Yeah. I had to go home and Google how many black people in Atlanta because I was like, there's not enough. What's going on? You know?
We need to yeah. fucking bring them back. It's fine.
The pre-chaser is a wild move.
I know. I'm such a pussy. Oh, man. Wow. Yep, that'll do it.
Silence.
That'll put some
chat.
Hair on your chest. I know, just the bodily functions of us dying slowly.
Yeah.
Oh, it's gross.
What is Ooh. This? This is. I mean, I like it, if I'm being honest.
I haven't even Orleo. Given myself time to taste it, so. I just have the burn, and I know.
Are you good at doing shots? Or
no,
you,
no, like, not at all.
I mean, you made this podcast, so I mean, at a certain point,
know.
You know.
Well, I was like, how can I stand out?
Yeah, that's true.
And
that's
I was
true.
Like, I like to drink. I could rip five shots in an hour. That's totally chill. And then,
yeah.
like, as I started doing it, I was like, oh, I can't. And, but, you know, I'm plot committed now. I got to do it. I got to
yeah,
fucking do it.
Yeah.
I can't turn back.
Committing to the bit.
Could you imagine?
Yeah.
I just am like, you know what? Actually, I'm sober now. It's Sobercast.
I mean,
that's going to talk about
You might
books.
Have more fans. You know, it could be the AA podcast.
I know.
I don't know.
yeah.
You know? Yeah.
I know. I should do that. I'll be like, look. I'll just have a solo one with myself,
yeah,
call, not drinking.
God,
I'm
the
just
shots
shaking.
Are over. Yeah, empty clip.
God.
Yeah.
I'm craving something. I don't know what it is, but I think it's alcohol.
Yeah. I mean, you drink early when you grew up in the South, too. Like, because I grew up super white trash and, you know, like, beer's everywhere. You know, you're
yeah.
just like, you start drinking so casually.
When
know?
Did you start drinking?
I mean, literally, like, not exaggerating, like, 13, 14.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
very. Like,
I was 14.
But, like, with my family, too. They'd be like, at a family get together, they'd be like, have beer, you know?
It
like,
is like
yeah.
a family thing. Because I'm like, I'm Italian too. You said you're
yeah,
Italian, right?
Yeah. The wine and thing, that was a big too.
Yeah,
you know? Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of wine, a lot of food.
Yeah.
A lot of Ovaltine. I don't know if you experienced
Ovaltine.
That. Yeah.
What is that, the...
It's like the chocolate malt
yeah.
shake.
Yeah.
I don't know. My
is
grandma.
Is that an Italian thing? Or is
I,
that just,
I don't know.
Right.
My grandma loved it. And
okay.
she was like super Italian. And like, I would come over. It's like 2 minutes.
I haven't
afternoon.
Heard that word in a long time. That shit used to rock. I used to be
yeah,
so excited.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like it's so weird because I feel like every generation is like, we are the best. We are the best.
It's just
childhood.
Nostalgia. It's just everyone loves
and I'm
the
like,
memories.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm like, you just like what it was
I
then. Know.
I because... look back now on like those like the corny like 2000s era like flip phones and like the TVs.
Oh
like
God.
I saw this woman on TikTok the other day talking about a TV made in like 2003 that was just like a SpongeBob TV. You know,
oh
and she was just talking
God.
About how funny it is. And it's like, that shit was awesome to
it
me.
It had character. It was interesting. I loved it. Yeah. Especially with the flip phones. Like, I would fucking, I had like a Razor at one point.
Yeah.
And that was like a cool phone at the time. And I remember I loved it so much.
That was really cool. If you had that, that was a flex.
Because you could hang up with sass. Yeah. Like, I would literally just be like, fuck you. And then like,
do you remember those mini phones they had? They were like, AT&T had like the mini one.
Yeah, that it was like a Tamagotchi. I was like, what the fuck is this?
And I had one.
It's a keychain.
I was hyped. Yeah, my parents got divorced, shout out. And that was exciting because my dad bought me that as like a fight move. No, like as like a fuck you to my mom. He like got me a phone.
Which was better.
Pretty sweet in the crossfires. I was
getting
gifts.
Yeah, you reaped the benefits.
And we were poor, so I was very excited. You know? And so I got this little phone and my dad said I could get a like a specialized, theme song. You know, he's really trying to dunk on my mom and be like I'm the cool dad.
Ringtone,
yeah. Oh. And I was like, I mean, it's, what is it, probably 2005, and I was like, it was Sweet Escape by Gwen Stefani. Then I'm in fifth grade, and my fucking cell phone's going off, and my teacher was like 65, and I feel like this must have been the first moment, because she's teaching fifth grade, so I think she probably had never had a child's phone go off.
She's like, it's my time.
And then Sweet Escape's going off, and she's like, what the fuck's going on? I'm like, my dad doesn't know I'm in school, so he's calling me, because no one's calling me, I'm in fifth grade. I got my dad, my mom, my grandma on the phone.
Who
is
it?
It was him. It was him calling me, being like, "What are you doing?" Like, I'm in school, you dumbass.
So funny.
You know?
Yeah. Oh my god, dude! My first phone was like a track phone.
What's a track phone?
It's like
the gangster phone.
It's basically like the plug.
Like a burner.
Phone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So as a drug dealer, maybe that's when calling. It's starting. Starting to pop up more. And I'm thinking I'm missing out on what I'm supposed to do, my full potential. But I didn't have a phone until 10th grade, It was the track phone. So, like, everyone's, like, getting phones. They're getting, like, the fucking Juke. They're getting the Flip. They're, like, getting all this shit. And I'm like, you guys are cool. Whatever. Like, look at this track phone. No one has it. And they're like, yeah, because no one wants it, you fucking weirdo. But I was still so proud of it. And I remember everyone's, like, picking their ringtone because that was the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You had to really, like.
What was it, like, $2 to get a ringtone?
Yeah. And, fucking with the track phone though, since it wasn't with a network, like you would go to Walmart and buy like minutes. Like
that
was me.
Yeah. You had to get those plastic cards with a gift card.
Yeah. And then it wouldn't work unless you scanned it. Because I did steal a few and I was like, it doesn't fucking work.
What's going on?
What is happening? Walmart got smart. I don't like this. And so I couldn't like the ringtones you would buy on a track phone, which I didn't realize until after I wasted my $2.
Oh my god.
They were only like beep tones. Like, it wasn't the actual song because it was that cheap. So I had like Ballin'.
I remember that. Yeah.
Do you know that song? Yeah. So it would go off and it'd be like, dan, dan, dan.
Yeah, just the beats. And no one has any idea that.
I was like, this is so embarrassing.
Of the effort that went into those beats.
Yeah.
You put in.
And the ring back tone. Did you ever do that?
Ring back tone. No.
So when someone's calling you, it's like, please excuse the
music
while your party is reached.
Yeah, that was a flex. I remember when you called somebody that had that and you were like, okay.
Yeah.
Right. They're doing pretty well.
Dude, I set mine to like Sublime because I was in my stoner era. And like, I was like, it was talking obviously about like smoking weed or whatever. My dad called me and I didn't answer.
Right.
And like, I fucked up because he heard the whole song. And then he left a voicemail and was like, you're talking about smoking the reefer on your phone?
Oh, no.
What are you doing? You're an idiot. And I was like, oh, shit.
Dad's not a weed guy, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
He wasn't an old hippie.
Yeah, well, now he is.
Oh,
which
of
is
course.
So
they always
weird.
Come back around, don't
so
they?
So weird. I yeah, know. Now we smoke together.
Yeah, my mom used to give a shit about me smoking weed, which is funny, knowing her. And then she now eats gummies.
Just pops them for breakfast, like
vitamins. She's like, I'm just hanging out having a gummy. I'm like, who are you? This is hypocritical bullshit, you know?
He
used to throw my pipes away. Come on.
Yeah. Well, she probably didn't throw them out. She probably kept them.
No, she was not, because my grandma's an old hippie.
Okay.
So my mom is, this is how white trash my family is. My grandma's a hippie.
I'm just picturing like Trailer Park Boys.
I mean, pretty close. We have a house. We're doing okay. But my grandma's an old hippie, so my mom is a rebellion. Was like, I don't smoke weed. You know what I mean? My mom told me one time, in our family, the way we rebel is we don't get tattoos. When I started getting tattoos, for people listening, I have a few tattoos. And so my mom was very much like, we don't do that. Like, that's how crazy they are that like she's like trying to be like, no, that's actually cool to not smoke weed and not get tattoos. I'm like, no, you suck. That's what's happening.
Stand up to the man.
You're being boring. Come on. But now she's always been cool about it. But I think, when you're 12-year-old smoking weed, you're like, what's going on? I don't blame her for that.
So you smoked before you drank?
Yeah. I mean, about the same. Yeah, a little bit, a couple months before,
Yeah. I smoked after. I think it was like probably a year after I started drinking. I smoked.
Yeah.
And it was literally out of like a tin foil like, pipe.
I was a goddamn MacGyver. I would take a Gatorade bottle, I'd turn it into a bomb.
Oh yeah. Apples. Yeah, like fucking get the screwdriver in there.
Once I learned the apple trick, that literally changed my life.
Yeah. And then I was like, this is healthy.
Yeah. And then also huge when you're a child and you're trying to hide it from your parents.
Yeah.
You just eat the apple, you throw it away, whatever. You know what I mean? It's like
Evidence, no bodies. We're
so good. I used to get real bold because my mom would leave all the time and I was an only child, so I'd be home alone. So I'd be smoking like in the house, like fully just like on the couch, like with an apple, just smoking weed. And then she would come back like the next day and just I would somehow
She's
think
like, it
that
smells
this,
like apple juice.
I don't know what I thought, but I would get away with it for so long. And then one time she came home and I was just sitting there and she opened the door and she was like, "Do you think I'm a dumbass?" And I was like, "Yeah,
I was hoping."
I mean, you kind of have been for like 8 months. So,
when your parents got divorced, my divorce too.
There we go. What age?
12.
Okay, 10. Yeah. All right. Nice. Statistically, worst ages.
Yeah, literally. But I was like totally fine with it. I don't know.
Yeah,
why.
Me too. I was like, let's call it.
Yeah.
You know,
I was like, time of death.
I was the boxing coach in the ring throwing the towel in, going, we got to call
like,
it. Guys.
I don't want to hear you bitch anymore. I'm trying to sleep and fucking get my spelling test in order.
Literally though.
God damn it.
Yeah. It's also funny. Cursive. When people, I don't know, but for me, people were always like, "Oh, parents getting divorced, two Christmases." No.
No.
No. What that meant
was like half.
Yeah.
Half a Christmas.
Now I have two shitty Christmases.
Now I have a Charlie Brown tree in my half-ass living room that my dad got at this weird fucking apartment building that I don't understand, and the carpets are all brown.
What my parents' move was all the time, my grandma would do this a lot. They would love to go to Dollar Tree and spend like a cool $20-$30 and wrap every single little piece of trash that they bought for a dollar.
Yeah.
And so I would be blessed.
Fucking stoked.
Gifts to the walls and all of it's just.
They're like, it's going
to
be a small
Christmas.
It's just
Christmas. A sticky hand and some off-market candy.
But
and you're
that,
like.
That was like
sweet.
The best.
I appreciate it because they wrapped it. You know, as I've gotten older, I appreciate it. But as a kid, I remember opening all these gifts and being like, damn, I didn't get a single thing that I'm going to use.
Yeah,
you know?
You're like, this is not what I asked Santa for.
No, Santa did not get the message.
Santa took the fucking day off when I wrote him. God damn it.
I remember they got me a basketball goal one time, which was huge. That was actually, I was fucking hyped. I was like,
that's
you know. And then they put it on backwards. And I remember being a kid being like, I knew they had fucked up, but I was like, I guess Santa put it on backwards, like side-eyeing my parents being like, these dumbasses.
You're like, I'm going to go in the NBA because no one ever trained like this.
Yeah, no one's ever got the ball to bounce back to.
Have you ever dunked it backwards?
Yeah.
That's crazy, dude.
I know.
And the weird thing is, like, my mom would always do that shit. Like, she would be like, it's going to be a small Christmas. And then there'd be a million presents, but they were all like the net worth
was
very low.
But the older I've gotten, I appreciate it.
But I was like, it's the thought that counts. That's literally
it's true, though.
Ingrained
into
me.
Because now when I look at my budget, I look at my account, I'm like, even if I had the money, would I spend the time to go to Dollar Tree, spend $30, get all the wrapping paper,
and
wrap it all. You know what I mean? That's nice.
Getting like close to 30 items in the dollar store.
That's not nothing.
You got to really dig. Yeah. You're in there for at least
an
hour.
You're scheming, you're like, finding stuff. Yeah.
You're fucking Googling shit. You're like, I don't even know what this is, but it looks cool.
I know. They did it. They really went for it.
And I don't know what it is. Like, maybe it is from my childhood. Now I'm in therapy. But like, I'm like, maybe this is it. We're cracking me open right now. But like, anytime, even when you like see gifts under a tree and there's like a lot of them, like I don't even care what's like underneath them, just like seeing gifts wrapped gets me like excited.
Exactly.
I'm like, oh
yeah.
I don't
even
care
fun.
What it is.
Yeah.
Could be a fucking pan that I'm never gonna use.
It's something.
But
something.
I like it.
It's wrapped up. Somebody thought about it. They did the thing. They wrote my name on it.
They put in the work. Does your mom still put, or your parents, I don't know, who gives you gifts, but do they?
No gifts over here.
Santa's real.
Yeah.
Just for all those 12 all and under that me and Spencer are trying to hit.
Yeah, you know, we keep it clean. Yeah.
Do they say like from Santa still?
No. I don't get any gifts anymore because my family's in Texas. I don't go back for Christmas ever.
Yeah, that's not a cheap flight.
No, that's the big reason I'm moving back is that like if I'm gonna be a comic that makes $30,000 a year, it would be nice for it to be in Austin, Texas versus it being in New York City. Because like I'm a 3-hour drive away from where my grandma lives versus like a 5-hour flight and then I got to rent a car and I got to do all this. You
it's
know what I mean?
It's such a to-do, dude. And it's the tabs like go high real quick.
Real quick. And like, I realized too, in the last 6 years I've been living in New York City, every trip I've taken basically is just back to Texas to be like, hey, yeah. I miss you guys.
Alive. Yeah, you know. Still not famous.
Yeah, still need some money. You know? Yeah.
See me on TV, but because I'm going to jail, yeah. Not because I have a special.
I know, yeah.
It's the worst, dude. Yeah. Every time I go home, like people are like, so like, when can I come get your show? I'm like, that is the most annoying question you could ask. I appreciate your support, but like, it is so like randomized. Sometimes I don't know when I'm going up until the night before, the night of, 2 days prior is like the most
advanced. An hour before. Yeah.
Yeah.
They take advantage of you like crazy and there's no way to control it. You have to just be like floating in the wind being like, hey, whatever happens, happens.
And then I'm also like, I don't want to be like too available.
Right.
Like,
right. That's so true.
Like, we could book her whenever. I'm like, well, you can, but like, let's give me some grace.
I know, but it feels like the bookers, they love to play favorites. Once they make a list, you know, once they got, that's like everything in life, you know? Yeah. Every job I've ever worked is the same as comedy. Every coffee shop I've been at, every food place I've worked at, every restaurant I've worked at, there's a manager in place. They're the king. They're judge, jury, executioner, and they decide. And that and comedy's the same. That's what I get so annoyed with when I listen to like famous comics on podcasts talking about like, oh, you know, comedy's so different. And that's like, it's the same as every job I've ever worked.
The opportunities and what you can like utilize and the platforms definitely have changed, obviously. But like the same like high school cafeteria, where am I going to sit vibes are still there.
Well, that's the funny thing. Like, when you're in high school, everyone's like, hey, it's just high school, man. When you get out of here, it's going to be so different.
I'm like, no, it's not.
The second you get out, you're like, oh, everywhere is the exact same as high school. And the sooner I would have just accepted that, I would have been much better off.
It's very tribal.
Yeah.
Like,
but that's human nature. I think that's just what it is.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I was going to say. It's just we're still like humans. Now we're just put into a different situation, which is like... Like now I'm like, everyone's like,
and then you add fame to it. You add money. You add, you add ego. Attention and ego.
Yeah.
And that's the thing I've realized a lot with comedy is like, I think a lot of comics get like, they get a lot out of just being on stage and getting the attention.
Yeah.
But I'm like an introvert and a little weirdo. I hate that shit. If I'm not getting laughs, I want to get the fuck off stage.
Yo.
So hosting to me is my nightmare because I got to get on stage, not get laughs, and get all this attention, and I hate it so much.
Yeah, you're like, this is not going my way.
This is literally my nightmare.
And you're like, I am better than this, but I'm not in the fucking opportunity right now to show you guys.
And then just years pass.
And you're like, who am I?
What's happening?
Yeah. Who am I?
I know, it goes fast.
Dude, it's the fucking worst. It's such a love-hate relationship, but I guess it's like that with anything.
But that's any pursuit. And that's the thing is like one of my buddies and I grew up with, like one of my best friends, best man at his wedding. Like we're real tight. He is now like a big alcohol rep. Like he moves for Fernet Branca, which is like this old fancy like liqueur company.
Fernet?
And yeah.
I think I drank that with Zach.
Yeah. Fernet's big. Fernet's cool.
Oh my
I love
God.
Fernet.
Oh, we and talk so much shit about that.
It tastes like shit.
Taking shots of it, I don't think that's supposed to be like the way it's
one of those things that's like, it's like Malort. Have you had Malort from Chicago?
No.
It's like the same type of thing. It's like a gross liqueur that people think is like good because it's like a tradition-based like drink.
Yeah.
But.
Oh, you saw. Yeah. You saw the timer, you little fiend.
Yeah. I'm an alcoholic.
That's hilarious.
No, but he tells me about that world. And that world to me is very similar to comedy where it's like, there's competition. It's personal politics. It's who you know. It's who likes you. That's just the world. That's how everything works.
Yeah.
You know? And I think comics get in their heads and they think it's so much different and so much whatever. And it's like, that's just how everything goes.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's like.
You mind if I steal another one of these LaCroix? Is that possible?
Go for it. Do you want mine?
Yeah, I'll take it.
I sipped it once.
All right. Hell yeah. You hate it. Okay. It's full as fuck.
Fuck LaCroix.
All right. You ready for this?
No, I love LaCroix. You're going to be my sponsor.
Whoever's going to sponsor, cheers. Sweet Jesus.
Rick, you were late on that one.
Ah, Rick's on it.
Doc. Can't believe you. Oh, God. Ooh, I got the afterburn on that one.
Yeah, no joke.
Ooh, my face is so red.
I mean, we're halfway through this bottle, so I mean,
Jesus
at least
credits Christ.
Us to some point, you know, the amount.
Oh, God. All right. Sorry. After this one, we're done. So
yeah, I mean, hey, you made the podcast, you know.
Yeah, I know. I'm such a.
I feel bad.
I'm just
I shouldn't feel bad.
Self sabotage. Wow.
Yeah.
That's the Corleone.
Yeah, that's what happens when you do. I mean, what is that? That's shot number four, right?
I don't know.
I think it is. I don't know. It's an amount that is ridiculous. But...
It is. And usually I get a personal bottle, so by the time we're done with the allotted shots, it's gone. So I know my timing that way, but this didn't come personal.
No,
it's just very public from the gate. And
it's pretty ridiculous.
I just, it's a lot. I feel like we got that from like fucking, what's his face in Breaking Bad? Tuco, what's his name?
Where did you get that from?
Oh, I love this shit. Yeah. Like, that is that who guy. Fucking made this.
That feels like it. It's also, it being Reposado makes it a lot more heavy to shoot, which is not fun. But...
So, dude, that's what I was saying at the liquor store. And he was like, no, that makes it easier. He's
maybe
like,
look,
he's
I don't
like,
know.
The silver is too strong.
This is where I'm at, though. I'm such a like a easily influenced person. The second somebody goes, no, I go, yep.
You're right.
Whatever. Hey,
I can never stand my ground.
No. Whatever you need, man. Whatever it is. I got it, you know?
Oh, my God. Wait. Oh, so I wanted to talk to you about,
because
I talked to you before you left. How was Eliza show?
Wrong comic, but hell yeah,
oh,
dude.
My God. Oh, my God. Nikki Glaser. Sorry. Blonde comic.
I mean, they're in the same Venn diagram.
But yeah, they're
like,
blonde
but Nikki's
comics,
funny. That's
I
the
like
only difference.
Both. So sorry. So sorry. No, I'll just edit that out.
Yeah.
I'll edit
cares?
That out.
Who cares? No, don't make Rick do more work. He's pissed. No, no, it was great. I mean, she's the fucking best. Shouts out to
Nikki
Glaser.
Yes.
Changed my life. The fucking best. She's coolest as fuck. No exaggeration, though. I was going to pull a Bud Dwyer.
She showed me what a vagina is.
On the Broadway. I wish. That was the funny thing. Every male comic I talked to is like, she's probably having you open for her because she wants to fuck you. And then you see her in person, and you're like, I would be so lucky. Like,
yeah, what?
She's isn't 5 foot
she...
nine. She's I a model. She's hot as fuck. You
is
know?
She... Like, married or no?
Yeah, she's like a long-term boyfriend. Basically married. Yeah.
A lot of those female comics are like pregnant or married, like in the
at
last
that age.
Year
yeah,
or two.
Which is funny. It's like late 30s,
like,
early 40s. They decide.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm like,
at the last minute.
All right, this I better peak soon so I can get out.
Yeah, you have another decade. You know.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want kids, so that helps.
Me neither. Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, especially with no money, I can't raise a poor child. I was a poor child. I can't do it.
Same.
You know?
And I'm just like, I can't do this again.
No.
Don't repeat the pattern.
No, can't do it. Yeah. Can't do it. Nikki's the best, though. It was cool as fuck. I got to open for her in Atlanta in front of 2,000 people. It was crazy. She was so cool. Flew me out, put me up.
I was going to say, yeah, it was
she
all
was, she was the best. Paid me well. It was great. She was so cool. It was one of those things, like, I've been in comedy for 7 years, and you just meet nothing but most of the people in charge in comedy are shitty assholes, you know?
Yeah.
And so you forget that the people at the top are cool as fuck and chill because those are the people that get out of it, you know?
Yeah.
And
her
energy is infectious to be around because she's so confident and so cool. Like, before the show, she's curling her own hair. She's two people in the room. She's hanging out with her mom. She's hitting a weed pen. She goes out, she has an hour and a half of jokes.
I love it.
An hour and a half of jokes. At every moment as a comic, I'm watching her from the wings going like, oh, she's kind of like filling time. And then left hook, boom, huge punchline.
Yeah.
Like, it was so impressive to
she
watch.
She does a good long setup.
Yeah.
Where you think it's just a storytelling.
It was cool to watch. It was really cool to
and
see.
And then it comes back. Yeah.
That level of comedy in person.
Dude.
It also will get you back humble where you're like, you know, because I went out and I did 15 minutes right before her. And the first like 3 minutes, I'm like, okay. Things are going pretty
crushing.
Well. Kind of doing the damn thing right now. And then I got an actual big laugh, and I was like, oh, I've been bombing for 4 minutes
like,
straight.
I just realized the potential. Because
there's that many people there that, like, I was making, like, 300 of them laugh going, I'm a fucking man.
Yeah.
And then I got all of them
and
laugh.
And then you made the 2,000.
And I was like, oh, right. I've been bombing. And then, again, I thought I fucking killed.
Yeah.
She went out, and within 20 seconds, I was like, I was eating shit the whole time. You know, because it's just, they're there to see her, and she's on
another
level.
Also, I was
going
to say,
you know?
It's catered to her.
Of course. But,
so
the level of comedy, like, when you see that level in person for like her doing her A++.
Yeah. Because
like if we saw Nikki Glaser drop into a comedy club in New York, that's gonna be her like C act, which is crazy.
Yeah.
It's
and they're testing
be,
new stuff.
You know,
when they're
but
doing
when you
that,
see them do
yeah.
their like she's about to put out a special and so she did that special plus whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
It was impressive. Like I embarrassed myself a little bit because she was so cool and funny. I was like trying to be like she'd riff this joke that I didn't realize was riffed where she was talking about her boyfriend being short but he's super hot. That's the only reason she's with him is because he's short. He has to have a defect. It's long thing. It's funny. And then she goes and I don't want to belittle him but you know he I don't know he'd be little you know.
I was just gonna say he'd be little
and it made me laugh so hard. And I'm in the green room after being like, that was so funny. And she goes, I just made that up on the spot. I'm never going to do that again. And she's like, just making fun of me for how much I liked it. And you see people at that level, you're like, oh, right. Like, the water goes that deep. Like, there's people that good at comedy. You know?
And it's like, being in that kind of environment and situation makes you fall in love with the craft again.
100%.
Because you're like, people are still, like, especially successful people, they're still putting in the effort and like really hitting the fucking bars. Like, you know what I mean?
Put
like,
in the work.
Because when you're like out here in the city and like doing spots and doing this and like, oh, it's a bar show or it's a comic produced show or you're at the club that you got passed at and now you're doing shit. You're over here, like whatever.
Right.
It's like you see so many people and I feel like it's like almost lost upon, not all of them. There's good ones. 100%. But like it's lost upon a good percentage.
People take it. They don't appreciate
where they get comfortable.
Yeah. And like, that's a big reason I'm moving is because it's kind of driving me crazy. Is like I've been banging my head against the wall trying to get to where those people are at that are so comfortable.
Yeah.
And I can't do it. And at a certain point, it's like, all right, that's fine. I'm going to go to where I can just get real opportunity because in New York City, there's so many people, like really good comics too, that are just taking up space and they don't try. And then a lot of them don't have to because
they're
really talented.
The same set, which fucking kills. But also, who the fuck was it that was like, if you're running the same joke, you're wasting time. Like if you're running the same joke that you know works,
especially if you're in the middle of the
why
set.
Are you doing that?
Right.
You only pull that out if you're fucking really failing and you need to really like pull out the stops to like make them. Yeah, exactly. Make them get you on your side. But I'm like, dude. Yeah. It's such a waste. Like, people I see doing the same sets for, like, years. I'm like,
a long time, yeah.
Like, I'm not shitting on them because I get it. You get comfortable. You know it works. But, like, how do you expect to, like, progress when you're just doing the same thing?
Yeah. And that's where I'm at. Where I'm like, I feel like I have
you got to take that risk. I have, like, 40, how you were in the beginning.
50 minutes of jokes that I want to do, and there's nowhere to really do it in New York because you can't
stage
time.
Yeah.
You
know? I started testing new material during hosting because I'm like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. But you're never going to get a fair gauge on your joke when you're up cold and no one has a joke.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know? I'll do it towards the end.
That's smart. Or in between comics.
It's like the 10 up front. You know? And then I'm like, okay, I'll do what works. I'll do the crowd work, do another thing that works. Then I'm going to test my new joke that I want to try tomorrow.
That's smart. That's smart.
And then I'm like, okay, so like I know you're on my side. Let's see how this
goes.
Get a little
balance
goes while you're sober. Because even that, if it gets a like pretty decent reaction, I'm like, oh, okay, so this is something. I'll continue working on this. I'll mold it, whatever.
That's true.
But it's it's so crazy, and I feel like I'm so happy that you got to go there and like have
it was
that
cool.
Experience.
It was a long journey too because I posted clips. You know, I used to get like regular spots on the weekends for free, unpaid. And I would do those and I would film those and I put those clips up online and then those did well. And then that's what Nick Glazer saw 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And then since that happened, I stopped getting those spots on the weekends, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
You know how the politics goes. And so I just spent 2 years of just hosting and eating shit and just nothing happening. And then out of nowhere, she DM'd me and was like, you want to open for me in Atlanta? I'm like,
God, which is amazing. And fucking shout out to her
for
like,
being cool
just
as fuck.
Being such a G.
But the whole thing was like, so like boss energy where she just like it was it, the whole thing is goals where it's like she just got to casually DM me, right? Yeah. It's like two messages. Then she sends me to her personal assistant who books my flight, books the hotel, does everything. I fly out. I get to meet her, whatever. It's like that level of like control and money is so like goals of like you can just change somebody's life on a Monday.
And that,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's so fucking
and that
cool,
would be
you know?
Like if I were to be in that position, and hopefully in the future I will be, like that
100%,
is that's what I would be doing. I'm not gonna like vet people who already had success or semi-success. Like I want people
who
are really good.
She was in
I've
the green
seen.
Room talking shit on a comic I really like, I won't say, but like she was talking shit on him being like, he asked to open for me and I'm like, you should be headlining.
Yeah.
And I'm like, fucking, I can barely get stage time in New York.
Yeah.
And she's having me out. And so like, because she's a real comic and really appreciates comedy, she gives back. You know, and you forget that exists because so much of comedy is people who just do not care.
Yeah,
you know,
or they have connections or they fucking suck someone's dick and then they fucking get all this time. And I'm like, oh, really? You're there? But I know what you did in the back room. Like,
but the most people at the top are cool and chill.
They are,
you know?
because when that's a good point, and I think it's because like they have the true talent
and they
like,
put through all the bullshit
and they fucking don't let up on who they are and what they believe in.
Like
and
we're watching it happen with Troy right now, you know, he's starting to break through and it's because he's a cool guy, you know?
Yeah.
It's like
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You just have to stay true to yourself. Keep like with your style. Keep with what you're doing.
I think authenticity works over everything. And not sell out. Yeah, like, no, truly though. Like if you're just flat out who you are and you don't give a fuck. Like at the end of the day, I think that wins over everything.
Yeah,
you know, people connect to that on a deep level. Like I heard Seth Rogen talking about when he made Superbad.
Fucking love Seth.
Yeah, you know
he is like one of my idols.
He's cool and he's chill and he's just real. And he was talking about how like when they made Superbad, like they were talking about how like no one's going to relate to this. It's about you know, these teenagers from Canada, but the more personal you get, the more accessible it is.
It was the most relatable movie of my like, young years.
Because it's like, I think the more, like, no human being is really that unique. We're all the same. We're all just, you know, made of the same shit. So it's like the more personal you are, the more it connects to more people. And
You get in this like weird, trippy mindset where you're like, they won't be able to relate. These people mm-hmm. won't get it based on like just even when you like scan the crowd when you're about to go up.
Yeah, that's fun. Yeah.
And you're just like, oh shit, like I had to change my material.
Oh,
and,
God.
Like,
yeah, I should be a different person.
Like, I cater this to an older audience or whatever it is. And then I'm like, you know what? No. Because they all experienced what I've experienced on a different level, obviously, but like we're all living life.
Exactly.
So like that's why when someone comes out with like a very like, oddly specific but general joke that everyone gets, it's like the best.
It's the
like
best feeling,
I just was like on my fucking Instagram feed earlier and there was like something like a tweet and it was like, yo, when someone comes over and they ask for a glass of water and they come back with a glass you've never seen in your cabinet. I was like, yo, that's so random but on point.
It's
like,
so true.
You're like, where the fuck was that?
I know, I just moved into a fucking nightmare situation with a bunch of comics where it's like four comics live there in like a huge apartment.
Comic on comic living is tough.
Yeah, it's tough.
I'm not
it's
gonna
tough.
Lie.
There's so like, many it roaches. It's crazy. Like, it's, I swear to God, when I was leaving the apartment today, I saw a baby mouse.
No.
Like right by the door. And I thought at some point I would evolve to a point where like I see a roach, I see a mouse, I won't shriek. But I let out a scream inside me every time that I didn't know existed.
Yeah.
And it hurts every time.
It comes from the belly.
Yeah, it comes from the belly. And it's pure bitch. It's pure bitch that just comes up.
Like,
and
who is she?
You know, it's just so bad and so like, God, you know, it's so embarrassing every time it happens.
I can't.
You know, because it's visceral. I mean, it's from the bone. It's such you know,
Is weird because it feels like so instinctual. And I'm like, why is that happening? Because we came from like cavemen and shit who were like, there's a bear, bitch.
It's they're like, too fast. That's what it is.
Is it?
They control the speed of light. I don't know what it is about mice.
I know. I'm like, was that a shadow?
Mice move so fast.
Is that a shadow? Is that my shadow or was that a mouse?
What's going on? It's crazy.
It's so bad, dude. I had a big mouse problem recently.
The difference, too, between a mouse and a rat to me is like, if I see a rat in my apartment, I'm like, I'll kill myself.
Oh,
I'll move out of here.
I'm
out of
here.
But I see a mouse and I'm like, it could have some bread.
They're kind of cute.
It's kind of cute, you know?
Like a little hamster.
Yeah, you know? And then
I'm
it
like,
crawls
I can
on
domesticate
me.
You.
And I'm like, I'll kill myself.
Bring your family in next time. Let's have a sit down dinner.
Come
we'll
on, Fifo, get in here, dude. Bring your whole squad.
Sort Little, get in here.
Coming to America.
Rip that little red convertible.
I know. Ratatouille is the only one that got the rat brand up, you know?
Yeah.
But Stuart Little, we got Fifle coming to America.
Stuart Little was a fucking
you know?
G. He was also a genius.
He was, yeah.
I was like,
flying
oh,
planes?
Okay, you want to help me cheat on my homework? Fuck. Shit's wild.
Whatever you need, Stu, let me know.
I had the little, for Christmas, callback, I got a little Stuart Little, like, remote control convertible thing where he was in the driver's seat.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So I went to the park.
Terrorizing the city.
Like,
yeah. Let him know
but
what the deal is.
But the sad part was the remote control was connected to the car. So I was I had to run with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Just keep
up. We weren't cool enough to have unattached.
Right.
I don't know if it was the times or our money. But I was being leashed around by that motherfucker.
Oh, no.
All right. This is our Russia. I think we actually did more than we allotted to, but
really,
do you want to do a last one?
Pour me a half.
Yeah, we'll do a halfsie. Oop, that's
man.
A half for me.
All right,
there we go.
All right,
I did it.
Woo, you did it.
Congrats. Oh, Lord, my face is so red. Like, what is that?
I mean, mine is too, if it makes you feel better, you
no,
know.
No, what? Yeah. That's bad.
Yeah,
that's bad news, Bears.
All right.
All right, last shot.
Cheers.
Last opportunity. Everybody. You like that?
It was pretty good. It was pretty good.
I was there. I was in it.
There's something about the music that makes it feel better. You know,
it's like thank you. That's why I was pushing for the headphones. Yeah. I was just thinking of you in this moment.
I mean, I just listened to my voice this entire time, which will make me jump off the Brooklyn Bridge on the way home. But you know,
I hate it too. I'm like, this is what I sound like.
It's that's the worst part about doing stand up is that people are like, you gotta put clips out. And you're like, if I have to watch myself do stand up comedy, I will never do it again.
That's the worst part. Because then you're editing yourself, and I'm like, I hate everything.
I think it's so funny too, because like people see you do stand up, and you're like confident, you're whatever, and they're like, oh, you're whatever. And it's like, yeah, yeah. In that moment, when I'm not thinking about it,
yeah, I'm like, I don't want to relive that.
Yeah, I don't want to look back on it.
If it's good or bad, I'm like, looking back is just traumatic.
Oh God, yeah. Every time I look back, I'm like, I'm gonna do 20 push-ups right now. I gotta just change everything about.
I'm like, what am I doing with my hair?
Yeah, what's going on?
I've had the same hairstyle since fucking ninth grade. Do something, you loser.
I go get Hims. The hairline's going, buddy. Come on.
You want some pros?
Yeah.
Sponsors.
That's nice. You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about the hair loss. Women don't talk about that enough. They don't have to worry about it, you know? They got everything else that sucks. But
yeah, I was going to say, that's the one thing you guys
what you got that going?
We got about 99 problems.
Yeah, but a hair ain't one.
And being a bitch is one. Yeah. That's a problem.
It's not a problem. It's more a virtue.
It's just what are you going to do with it, you know?
My mom was a bitch. I love her, you know?
Yeah. You could be a bitch. You could be a whore. Those are basically the only two options.
Yeah, those are the best options.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, with that. that's a wrap on our finished basically
half the bottle of this tequila.
I'm very scary tequila. Like even drunk. The bottle's intimidating. Like I wouldn't want to fight
give a
that.
Sponsor. Give a
like,
sponsor.
Like Nacho
out.
Libre wouldn't even fucking challenge that shit in the in the ring.
Yeah, he was a wrestler,
was
right?
The court.
Yeah, I watched the Iron Claw. Yeah, come on, I know.
Oh my Lord. All right. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me. This was fun.
I had a great time.
Yeah.
I hope I didn't influence you too badly.
Oh, and I'm drunk, but.
And Rick, you know, you're wearing a Mets hoodie today, so I'll let it slide. Thank you so much. Spencer Cilio, everybody.
Yeah,
please follow
him.
What do you want to plug? Anything?
Yeah, I'm headlining the Hyenas Fort Worth in Texas on April 27th. If you're in the area, Spencer Cilio, S-I-L-E-O on everything. And thank you for having me. I appreciate you, Slater.
Hell yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Beautiful. Wow. Crush it. Oh, you did the audience clapping after. Look at you still working that soundboard even now.